Welcome to Great Minds as we correct a long overdue oversight in the Great Minds canon, Mark. And we welcome to the show as we wind down after five seasons the Great Minds podcast, our dear friend, one might say, Mark, the godfather of Great Minds, my dear friend, co-founder and partner at Gravity Road, our very favorite creative agency in the world. I am thrilled to have you here today, Mark. So a very, very heartfelt welcome to Mark Eaves. Welcome, buddy.
It's lovely to be here. It's nice to be invited into the canon. Phenomenal group of guests of your run and a phenomenal number of podcasts. So great to be joining you.
Quite the long run. So as always, Mark, we are both, almost always, I should say, in different parts of the world. You are in Europe, it's Spain in the moment. I just came back from Mexico City. And one of my favorite stories, Mark, and I want to talk a little bit about filmmaking and storytelling and something we discussed with some of your Gravity Road and Brand Tech colleagues at Advertising Week a few weeks ago, which is that intersection of creativity and technology. But I want to start with a little story. You'll get one from me and then a lot from you, I hope. And that's a story of a Tanzanian marathon runner named John Stephen Akwari. And John Stephen Akwari competed in the 1968 Olympic Games, which were contested in Mexico City. And one of my dearest friends, and probably the person I feel most privileged to have known in my life and to have become quite close with, was Bud Greenspan. Bud left us a number of years ago, but Bud really invented the genre of the sports documentary and did all of the official films for the IOC going back to the first post-World War II games in your native land of England in the great city of London. And in his feature on John Stephen Akwari, known as The Last African Runner, Bud told the story not of a runner who won a gold medal or a silver or a bronze, but rather someone who was injured early in the race and had the fortitude to finish the race, taking 4.5 hours. He finished dead last. And after he entered the Olympic Stadium in Mexico City, he was asked, "Why did you finish the race? You had no chance to win." And as Bud documented so brilliantly in his segment, John said, "My country did not send me here to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." And it's a wonderful story. And Bud was, to me, the greatest storyteller that I've ever seen anywhere. You worked on a wonderful campaign for the Refugee Olympic campaign. And another first, a boxer named Cindy Nagamba. So I would love to start our conversation, Mark, by talking about the For the 100 Million campaign, the Refugee Olympic team. And I'd love for you to tell us who Cindy Nagamba is and then really get into a wide swath of subjects with you. But let's start there. And I love getting to mention Bud. One of the great joys of Great Minds has been the chance to talk about people whose names would otherwise be lost in history. And Bud Greenspan is a name that should never be lost in history. So over to you, Mark, and I'd love to talk about Cindy and the Olympic refugee campaign.
No, and it's such a great quote. It was actually one of the quotes that was sat with us as we were developing the campaign that's just run through this year into the Paris Olympic Games. So, yeah, let me take a step back. So there is a team which a lot more people know about now than they did at the start of the year, an Olympic team called the Refugee Olympic Team. It was formed back in the Rio Games. It was launched then. And essentially, if you're find yourself as a displaced elite athlete, and for whatever reason, political refugee, displaced through natural disaster, you don't have a flag to compete under. The International Olympic Committee set this team up as a home for displaced people globally. An incredible initiative, and probably defines the heart of the Olympic spirit more than anything. And that quote about where I've come from to get to the start line was something that kind of resonated with us. So fast forward to Paris 2024, back when the Olympic refugee team was formed. 2016 at Rio, there were about 65 million displaced people globally. What was apparent as we got to 2024 is that the number of displaced people globally has grown rapidly. The refugee crisis, we're all well aware of, but I'm not sure we know quite how scaled it is. So, working with the IOC, the task they gave us was pretty simple. Can you make this team one of the most supported and famous teams at the Olympic Games in Paris? I think myself, for the Gravity Road team that worked on it, for the whole company and across the Brandtech Group, it's been an immense moment of pride to be able to work on it. But essentially, if you take these athletes, too often refugee athletes, they're kind of depicted as people that you pity, but these are incredible sports people. And you think of everything that your chances of being an elite athlete and getting to the Olympics with all the support in the world of your national Olympic team, Team USA or Team GB, the chances of you making it as an Olympian, they're so small. Now think about you've fled from war in Syria, you've traveled across Europe, you are have official asylum in Germany, and you then manage to compete as an Olympic swimmer, as Yasra Mardini did, the famous swimmer whose story was then taken into her autobiography and a Netflix movie. The extraordinary things that these people have overcome to get to the start line is something that more people needed to know about. So we spent the whole the start of the year kind of treating this team like a team should be. This is a team that is actually they're not unified by geography. They're the one team that don't sit in one country. They sit all around the world. So how do you help them become a team? So we gave them their first identity. We treated them as you would any great team of superstars. We put a whole campaign around them. The campaign idea of 1 in 100 million. These are extraordinary people. They're not just another sports person. They have overcome extraordinary odds to get there. And it allowed us also to kind of highlight the refugee crisis within that number. And what was amazing as we got to Paris was kind of seeing all the hard work. We made a great film, which kind of turned these sports people into superheroes in a kind of graphic novel style. And we were able to use all sorts of progressive Gen AI technologies in the animation, make it really, really progressive. Had a Syrian illustrator draw all the key frames. It was very much about drawing on the refugee creative community to create the campaign. But I think probably the thing that was most proud is as like the opening ceremony happened, as the refugee Olympic team came down the Seine on the boat, and I was privileged enough to be at the opening ceremony, the huge response across the crowd and across the world, across social media, for this team. And within that, you mentioned Matt, an Olympian called Cindy Ngamba. The real magic and the real credit of this team is Cindy Ngamba, who the Cameroonian-born boxer who lives in the northwest of England, actually went all the way and got a bronze medal in the boxing and secured refugee Olympic team's first ever medal. Absolutely phenomenal achievement. So, to go all the way from refugee status to being an Olympian medal-winning athlete, I think is probably one of the most greatest sporting stories that you'll see. And quite rightly, Sinyin Gamba is starting to get the recognition she deserves. So, a phenomenal campaign, a phenomenal story, and a real privilege to be part of.
Well, I loved what you did there because what Bud did so brilliantly and what the campaign, Mark, that you and your Gravity Road brand tech family created is you tapped and packaged the emotion and you elicited a visceral response. And that's very hard to do, especially in today's times where we are assaulted with. You've seen all kinds of crazy numbers about how many commercial messages we receive a day from the moment we wake up and take that first look at our phone to the moment our head hits the pillow at night. And that campaign was so well done, told such brilliant stories. I love how you leveraged the phenomena of the creator economy into what you did as well. And it had a lot of heart. And to me, that's what makes Gravity Road different. As I said on stage, when you do what I do for a living, you're not supposed to have favorites. Advertising Week, we take great pride in, doing business with everybody and have steadfastly over almost 25 years maintained that notion that we're Switzerland. But Gravity Road is my favorite shop, and it's because of the story you just told. And I'm glad we got to talk about it here.
No, that's great to hear, Matt. That's great to hear. And thank you for all your support over the years since we first founded as a scrappy startup way back in 2011. I think just to kind of add a bookend to that Refugee Olympic campaign, I think it's that point that, it is about heart. In fact, one the big sign that was created across the whole of Paris and came together was people making the heart sign. We put the heart into the symbol that we designed for their team emblem, and it became this amazing kind of visual signpost for showing love, support, showing positivity at a time where it's needed more than ever. And I just think that point that, lots of challenges with a globalized, socially driven media world. But the positives is when you can orchestrate that in a positive way and pe bring a world together around a cause and a moment, it's still breathtaking. And I think the more we can find moments to use technology in that way, the more we'll fend off the more negative aspects of some of the bad actors in that ecosystem, right?
Yeah, no, so well said. So well said. So let's go back, Mark. We're going to talk about early days at Gravity Road going back to 2011, but let's dial the clock back a little further and go back to your role as the founder and leader of Drumscreen going back to 2004. It was a groundbreaking creative and production arm. That did not exist in sort of early days of where we were headed, knowingly or unknowingly. But I'd love to dial the clock back to 2004 and talk about Drumscreen, part of the PhD family.
Sure. Well, yeah, it actually started a few years earlier. In '98, I kind of launched a division within Drum. I like everybody who works in advertising from the outside in, you don't know that there's all these bits to it. There's just this thing that's called advertising. I was very fortunate to land in a company that was kind of formed between people from Abbott Mead Vickers, a BBDO, a creative agency, and PhD, a pioneering media agency. And they've kind of been set up to help big global brands in the US, particularly Pepsi, who are looking in the UK for a space where they could do all the crazy stuff. This was the time where Pepsi were launching rockets to space, right? They were doing all kinds of really pioneering work that was well beyond the confines of advertising, and I sort of found myself kind of landing in a company that was kind of really redefining creative ambition outside of the traditional confines of an advertising break. So, we were taking over whole TV ad breaks on peak time Saturday night TV for Pepsi and creating TV shows and putting them in there. We were creating early radio shows and whole dance music stations for brands. We were early into kind of creating branded games and gaming. I guess I found, we were kind of in a pocket of the industry that was gonna, with the addition of technology and social media arriving in the next few years, completely changing how brands can connect with audiences and how you can bring the worlds of entertainment, advertising, and technology together in new ways. So it was kind of a continuum. I was there. I spent 14 years at Omnicom, and I was led Drum as a kind of European business, essentially as social media was starting to transform how content for brands can be created, how can it be distributed, which then, a lot of people in our industry who have that entrepreneurial streak, there's a sense that, I think we can push this on again. So myself and my business partner, who's another Mark, you don't have to be Mark to start Gravity Road, but it did help, who was at BBH, we launched in 2011. So, understanding how audiences are behaving around technology, understanding how audiences are spending their time. A founding principle of Gravity Road was making time well spent. How are audiences spending their time? Where are they spending their time? How can you do things that will help audiences spend their time better, whether that be entertained better, educated better? It's been a founding principle, but I landed in a corner of the industry with great creative people doing very special things outside of that conventional world of the ad break back then.
Yeah, and I think PhD, and we had a wonderful seminar, I remember quite fondly at BAFTA, where we had the three founders. I know you're particularly close to David Pattison, who's played a special role with Gravity Road for many, many years, Nick Horswell and Jonathan Durden. I think sort of overlooked is a great farm system for talent.
Creative thinking within the media landscape back when they initiated it, as they will say, the media landscape was getting more complicated than ever. More TV channels, more radio stations, the internet was opening up, yet the thinking around that space was getting less innovative and less creative than ever. So the opportunity for creative thinking, I think, in any context, whether that be the medium or the message, and when those two things are happening at the same time, more than ever, it's incredibly powerful. And PhD and a number of other pioneers really led the way in redefining what creativity and media could be.
They certainly did, and just an incredible story. And I was very glad when we had all three founders on stage. So let's talk about early days with you in the aforementioned other Mark Boyd, and the founding of Gravity Road, which sort of was almost at the very same time as our early trips to London to explore launching Advertising Week, which ultimately happened in 2013, but our trips began in 2011. And early on, we had a chance to meet when we were together recently with Rebecca. We got to tell that story again about our first meeting. But I'd love to talk about the founding of Gravity Road and the decision, Mark, that you made to leave the let's call it the Omnicom security blanket. There's a great difference between that guaranteed paycheck every 2 weeks and going out and hanging a shingle and becoming an entrepreneur. So I'd love to talk about that decision pathway and remembrances of early days at Gravity Road.
Oh yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I think anyone who has a strong point of view on how they think the industry could or should be, or the kind of work that could or should be made, and the anybody who kind of geeks out about the industry in a way that kind of never leaves them, at some point they're going to find themselves asking that question about doing their own thing. I think what's amazing now, as the creative economy has emerged, is I think the empowered way that people who want to look at new ways of creating, well, founding creative businesses. It's incredibly exciting. I mean, I think right now the tools and the technology that you have to do that is something where you have to have a good reason to not be doing your own thing now. I think it's perhaps the other way. Back then, I think we were starting to believe, we just had a really strong belief, and I think any young entrepreneur needs to have their belief tested and stick with it, and because it's the thing that gets you through. We had an absolute belief that the explosion of social media that we could see happening, the ability for moving image particularly to be created, distributed, socialized, shared in new ways, was gonna fundamentally change how brands communicated. It sounds so obvious now. I think often those things that feel quite revolutionary at the time perhaps are quite revolutionary because a few years down the line they become how the world is, but at the time, you're fighting a kind of a very structured advertising industry that believed that certain modes of advertising and brand building are going to be the main way forward. You fast forward now, you look at all the fastest growing brands in the world that everyone puts in every case study, whether that be a kind of Liquid Death or an Elf, or I could list 100. They have a fundamentally different model of advertising that is audience community up. It is about absolute focus on audiences and how they're spending their time and how they can build a brand and a business that does that. So we were doing that early at Gravity Road. We've like always, you find certain clients that trust you, that back you. My tip for any entrepreneur is don't within our industry, don't target brands or businesses, target individuals within those businesses and organizations who have an entrepreneurial streak, who want to go about things in a different way. And we found them. We did some amazing work for Bombay Sapphire, where we created a global film program, which encouraged young filmmakers to make really high-end films inspired by Bombay Sapphire, one of which went all the way, Roommate, went all the way to win a film BAFTA, which I think was a real high point for us. We always set ourselves a benchmark. Could we create work that got recognized outside of the advertising world? Can you really create stuff that can hold its own against the worlds of entertainment? And that was a big moment for us. We were privileged to work with Arianna Huffington and an amazing client called Isabel Sita Lumsden, who's still over at TikTok now, launching the Huffington Post in the UK. We won a Cannes Lion for that. That was kind of radical in how it was changing news. So you kind of have to find the individuals that back and buy your vision, and then do the best work that you can. I think we also felt very early on that you needed to be a global business, not just a UK business, because the world industry was changing so fast. So that served us very well as well. And then, as I'm sure we'll come to talk about, fast forward, joining David Jones and his vision for the Brandtech Group has been a whole new journey of excitement.
It's amazing how the time goes. I remember the Bombay Sapphire work. Didn't you have a presence here in New York at the Tribeca Film Festival?
We did. We launched the film at the whole series, the whole Bombay Sapphire Imagination series, launched at the Tribeca Film Festival. And if anyone's listening, do check it out. It's a film called Roommate by an amazing filmmaker who's now a top director. You'll see it on YouTube. He wrote an amazing script, and that is now taught on. I've seen it taught in film schools, actually. So yeah, it's an amazing bit of work.
And you hit on a couple points there, Mark, that I think are worth, digging a little bit deeper. You said that, today, not launching something on your own and embracing that creator economy mantle is almost unheard of. But back then, that was not the case. It was a very different time, a different mentality. A lot of these creative and technology tools, which we will indeed touch on as the Brand Tech Group navigates forward, carving a quite a unique and powerful space in our industry, transcending the industry. And that's another big point that you made. But it was a different mindset back then. Most of the big work was still being done by, mid and large shops.
I couldn't agree more, Matt. I think, there's that kind of that constant democratization of the means of production. When you first started in the industry, it was just, everything was sewn up, right? If you were an advertiser and you wanted to make something, you had to, an ad, you were so far away from the output and what the endpoint was that you had a very, very vertically structured, controlled environment for the creation of anything. What we're doing now, and even if I look at how we've evolved at the Gravity Road now, so much of our work is creative, not just a huge amount with creators work, huge amount of TikTok's one of our largest clients, and a ton of work with really great creators. But increasingly, those creators, they're not just great storytellers, they are incredibly technically proficient, and they have access to pro tools. They are the people who are pioneering how to use the latest Gen AI tools and technology to create new types of film, understanding how you can experiment and get to fresh work and fresh executions using the latest technology. The agency world used to kind of be a big kind of closing in. It was about drawing a client in and then closing the world around it, and kind of almost stopping the world from getting in so that they could do everything within the building. The best creative businesses are ones that are huge opening out now, whether collaboration, the networks of great creative people assembling great teams for all sorts of diverse projects. It requires a fundamentally different approach, and one thing I'd credit us with is that open collaborative approach has helped keep us at the forefront of all of the new forms of creativity, technology, whether that be across gaming, whether that be across filmmaking, whether that be across whatever's next. I think Mark and myself, I think we both had a kind of fundamental kind of chip on our shoulder that actually, the closed structures of the old agency world seemed a little bit unfair and stacked in the favor of people that were already pretty privileged and weren't always open to new forms of thinking and creativity.
Yeah, I'll say it slightly differently, that what's been admirable to watch over the near 14 years or so since the founding of Gravity Road is as you have grown and as you've become part of a bigger global family at the Brand Tech Group, that nimbleness of a small entrepreneurial, let's call it a family store, that you have maintained that sort of approach, that philosophy, that grounding. And I think that's one of the things that has enabled you to continue to grow and thrive, now literally all over the world. But not everybody has that attribute. And I think that a lot of that, Mark, comes from you. So glad we're getting to dig into all this because it's a story worth telling.
I know David's been on this podcast as well, and talked about the kind of founding of the Brento Group and a belief in how, machine created content is going to revolutionize marketing, as it's happening right now. And we joined in back in 2018, so we've been part of that story and I think we can kind of look back a little bit, but like genuinely, I think right now, like the future of this industry is only just beginning. What keeps you excited? It's like genuinely, since we formed Gravity Road, this is our moment. Yes, we've had mobile, we've had the internet, they were all kind of verticals. I think what is happening with Gen AI and as a horizontal across the world, but actually we found that the advertising industry happens to be a pretty amazing first use case for Gen AI. Actually, it is completely changing things up. Now that comes with a huge amount of challenges: protecting creativity, making sure that things are done in ethical ways around IP, ensuring that there's proper governance, all of those important things that are still being worked out. But as a tool, and it is a tool for accelerating creative realization, it is incredibly exciting. And we're fortunate within the Brandtech Group that we have a founder, David, who's absolutely leading the charge. And we have with Pencil, which is our leading Gen AI platform, which is over 100 million ads have been created using it. We're not just talking about what's happening in the future, but we're actually doing it now. We created a TV ad for Hotel Chocolat, which is a UK premium chocolate brand that's been now part of Mars. We created a TV ad from them, which was largely done with Gen AI, using their brand world to train it on, so ethically done. But we ended up with a TV film that was System One, the research company. They tracked it as one of the top 10 most effective ads of 2023 in the whole of the UK, and that's against every advertiser that was on television. So really getting under the bonnet and actually doing work with these things. I get a little bit frustrated sometimes that I look at some people, some voices who are incredibly brilliant, and it's like, let's spend less time writing LinkedIn posts and more time creating things with these tools, and let's do the let's evidence it through. The best demonstration of what the future can be is the work that you do now. That is what the ethos of the group that we're part of, and it's certainly an ethos of Gravity Row.
Great stuff. And I want to dig in deeper here and sort of go into that creativity technology lab that you are working in and how you're using those tools. But one digression, albeit a quasi self-serving one, after literally 15 some odd years, give or take, of blowing the advertising for advertising week. It was Gravity Road that came up with a, it's more than just a tagline. It was really almost tapping into our DNA and giving voice to something that we had struggled to give voice to. I think I've shared with you that we had actually fired a pro bono agency whose work was so poor, and it's not easy to fire someone you're not paying. But we had to fire Euro RSCG. The work they did was in such poor taste. And in fairness to the creative team, I think there was a lot of pressure to create something that was for us, for the advertising industry, from the advertising industry. We had had a series of unsuccesses. I'm not quite sure that's a word, but you know what I'm trying to say with DDB.
I do.
And then along came Gravity Road. And great minds think unlike. And from the moment you and Mark presented it to us, we immediately reacted, you nailed it. Take us back to those days and the evolution of great minds think unlike. Of course, the Godfather, as we referred to you earlier, let's use the word, the name Don Corleone at the Great Minds podcast. But talk about that evolution, and you were there in the room when it happened, so to speak, as Lin-Manuel Miranda says in Hamilton. So take us back to the early days and the birth of Great Minds Think Unalike.
Well, the first thing you've done, Matt, is the thing that too few people in the marketing industry do, too many brand owners do, is that they don't stick with something and build on it and make it epic. I think it's easy to have a great idea with a great line and a great positioning. Having a partner who will invest in it, make it have all the meaning that is implicit, be explicit, take it into other platforms and other worlds. You're a case study of a great client, Matt. You stuck with something and turned it into a true brand platform. I think we just felt that the advertising industry can be a terrible bubble, a terribly self-reverential little world sometimes, where we're kind of just doing work so that we can send it to our friends and they'll say nice things about us and we'll talk about it at the weekend. And I feel sometimes when you the end the advertising industry does work about the advertising industry, it can get a little bit like that. What we saw that you were doing, and I'll never forget meeting you, as you had a list of people to meet in London that could be interesting as you thought about coming over from New York, and I was very happy to be on that list. What we could see that you were doing with Advertising Week over in New York, and you've subsequently done globally with tremendous awe-inspiring growth of a brand of business, is that you were reaching outside of just talking about advertising to interesting people who were creating culture, driving opinion, shaping the world that we're living in. And I think just look at like the people you've just had on recently in Advertising Week New York. It's about the thinkers, the minds, the shapers of what's happening in culture. I think we also felt pretty early on that the best people like that, they're not all the same. Their minds are often behaving in different ways. And I think what's been really brilliant is as we work with you over the years, it's starting to kind of as more medical understanding about neurodiversity came through and has come through and continues to show, the shape of creative minds, the neuroscience of different minds, the minds that people think don't behave in ways that mainstream society wants them to are actually maybe some of the most precious minds around. You've kind of taken the essence of that positioning, that it's the unlikeness of minds that really makes them great. It's something that I think it feels true, and you've made it true through how you've put it through so many different programs and so many different strands of what Advertising Week has become. But it's just good to see something. It's about committing, right? You committed to it, and when you commit to something and go all in on it and have the ambition to make it mean something, without that, it's always going to stay a line on a page.
Well, it has been an absolute joy, and really, more than that, you've created a lifetime of memories for us, for me. I'll never forget seeing Great Minds Think Unalike come to life on that giant, giant outdoor billboard on Shaftesbury that our old friend Jonathan at Outdoor Plus, before they sold to Global, he used to give us that every year, right around the corner from Picture House Central, and seeing our work across Transport for London and the Tube and various iterations of the campaign, and it has been a true love affair, and I'm grateful to you. So let's do as we promised as we start to wrap, and really peel back the curtain on this notion that you referred to, and that's the intersection of creativity and technology and the toolkit that generative AI provides. When I was on stage with some of your colleagues at Advertising Week a few years ago, I openly questioned that, and they gave me back some pretty good answers, Ryan on your team in particular. But I'd love to hear it from you. I'm just starting to understand what that really means. But I'd love to dig into that a little bit further.
It kind of made me think about it in two areas. I think that at a macro level, you've got the fundamentals of how advertising is created and distributed is going to radically change in the next 3 to 5 years, and how much of that is driven by AI tools. We believe will be huge. It is already proving to be transformative for a lot of the global advertisers that we're working on. And that's because, as I say, unlike maybe some of the other voices in the industry who talk a lot about what their companies are going to be doing with it, led by David, there's been very early investment in this area. And if listeners check out Pencil AI, they'll see a fully fledged end-to-end Gen AI marketing platform that is already being used by some of the world's biggest advertisers. And I think that there's two bits. There's this point around day-to-day advertising, you might call it, the creation of assets or lateral, the kind of 80-90% of the advertising world is actually the creation of a lot of day-to-day assets, the marketing engine that's required in the modern media landscape just to keep brands in their presence. And I think what's happening there is, already, unexceptional things are being delivered in incredibly exceptional ways. Even something as simple as a product shot, amazing product photography and shoots, that can be done with generative AI tools in a way that is as good and often sometimes better, quite often better than what would have been traditional ways of capturing that content. So, creating unexceptional things but delivered in exceptional ways through this technology is something that's here now. Alongside that, I think what you still want is the exceptional creativity delivered in exceptional ways. And within the group, what our heartland is how can these tools allow you to create things, create experiences or stories or encounters that are fresh, are innovative, allow a new form of storytelling to happen. We're on the edge of a whole new era of creative world building. For all the challenges, with this area, there's some stories coming through. I don't know if you saw like R Runway a few weeks ago. They just announced a big partnership with the film company Lionsgate, which I'm sure you know very well. Incredible creator of franchises like Twilight or Hunger Games. Oscar-winning films like 1917. They've struck a partnership with Runway, where Runway are building a whole new Gen AI model specifically for Lionsgate, based on Lionsgate's own film and TV portfolio from scratch, and start to build whole new creative experiences around those franchises. It's the sort of thing that we've kind of has been talked about for a number of years, but I don't think anyone's fully appreciated that this technology, the worlds that you can create, whether that be for moving image film storytelling or whether into gaming, are going to be really transformational. So within the Brandtech Group, we're pushing in that space. Whether that be gaming platforms like Roblox, which again, huge potential there for millions of developers creating their own games, but millions of developers who can create their own games without even needing to code instantly. It's that magic. It's the thing as a kid where you sit there and you create a world, don't you? That's what kids do. They create worlds in their heads. The ability to turn that world into something that you can tangibly experience through technology, I find pretty magical and exciting.
If we're being honest, which we always are, I'm still not sure I get it all. But what I do get is the word you used. You said heartland and you said heart. And heart is at the heart of everything that you have done. It's the essence of Gravity Road. It's the essence of the great work that you were doing for many, many years as an independent shop. And that you've maintained as part of the Brandtech Group, the wonderful global ecosystem that our dear mutual friend and your colleague David Jones has built. And I have no doubt that as you deploy that AI toolkit and really live right in the epicenter of creativity and technology, that heart will continue to be right in the middle of everything you do. And I can't thank you enough for joining me here, Mark, on Great Minds. It would have been incomplete to have wrapped the series without you. And I'm just very grateful for our friendship and all the great work that we have done and all the great work that we will do going forward. So thank you for taking some time here to spend with us and tell some great stories.
It's been so great to get in before you kind of wrap up this amazing series, and everything you said, Matt, sending it right back. You've been an amazing supporter of everything we've done, and there's lots more exciting times ahead. So, real privilege. Great to spend time with you, Matt. Thank you.
As the old great Sinatra song goes, the best is yet to come. Thank you,
It
Mark.
always is. Take care. Bye-bye.